Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air to hear your and address your question and discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and call. Basic Gospel. Intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As we talk about every day, the basic gospel intersects with our daily lives, and one of those touch points is actually money. We all need money. We all have to have money to survive in this world, but sometimes we can get way out of balance as far as our attitudes toward money and what we believe money can do for us. And that's when we need to get reeled back in and to recognize where true contentment, true safety, true security comes from, and that's our faith in Jesus Christ. He alone is the foundation on which we can stand, a foundation that is unshakable, that will withstand any storm of life. So that's what we want to talk about this week as we continue with this topic, grace and money. We want to look at this idea of worship. Where's your heart? And Jesus had lots to say about these hearts of ours. When we're dead, when we're lost, when we're spiritually separated from God, our hearts are aligned with the ways of this world. And so we naturally buy into the world's views of money. And we use it to buy meaning and purpose to life. We use it to buy happiness. We use it to buy identity. We use it to buy all sorts of things. But what we find out is that it never can truly satisfy. Then we come to know Jesus. This gospel message intersects with our lives, and we hear truth about God for the first time, that He truly loves us and has demonstrated that love for us in Jesus, that He's taken away our sins once and for all, and that He raised Jesus back to life so that we could have true, genuine life, a life whose source is Christ Himself. That's that gospel message, and from there, we get a whole new perspective on money. We no longer have to use it to try to find meaning and purpose to life. We already have meaning and purpose in Jesus. We don't have to use money to buy contentment or try to find contentment in this world. We already have contentment in Jesus. We don't need money to buy an identity. We already have a new identity in Jesus called Child of God. You can't get any better than that. There's nothing in the world that can compare. And that was given to us by grace. That was a gift of God's grace to us. So we get a brand new perspective, and it comes as we start to live in dependency upon Jesus Christ, as our hearts respond to Him in such a way that we live in dependence upon Him. And Jesus really, I think, clarified the issue for us in Matthew 6:24. He said this, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And that word serve there, it really means a slave. It's to be a servant to someone else or to something else. It also means to be devoted to and dependent upon. And here's the principle. Here's the truth that Jesus is trying to communicate to us, that whatever we worship, whatever we're devoted to and dependent upon, that thing or that person will ultimately control us. That's just truth, and we need to recognize it. So if you think money can buy you happiness, if you think money can buy you contentment, if you think money can buy you meaning and purpose to life, can buy you power and prestige and status, and all of those things, then you're going to devote yourself to money, and soon you're going to find out that money controls you.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And that's why Jesus is so clear in drawing this dividing line to say you can't serve both God and money. It's just an impossibility.
Absolutely.
So we need to ask the question, where's our heart? And only the grace of God can align our hearts in the right direction, yeah, and that's toward Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Toll-free open lines, 1-800-677-9377. We encourage you not to let this opportunity to pose your question or add your part of the discussion. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial. Want to hear from you. Plenty of time on the clock, and all the lines are open. 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a couple of callers on our early broadcast were talking about the fact that, this fact of giving and sharing and so forth doesn't have to be with money. It could be in your relationships. It can be sharing with others. It can be sharing time and attention and so forth. And so, I came to a conclusion some time ago in my life that the most important thing that God has given us is the relationships one with another. And when we can give of ourselves to each other, I think that's the fulfillment of His love flowing through us to others. There was a question here that we discussed a little bit on the early broadcast. This is from Laura, who writes to us from Moncton, New Brunswick in Canada. And it just plays off of the ultimate gift that Jesus gave in His life, laying down His life for us and giving His life to us through His resurrection. And her question concerns the statement, "By His stripes you are healed." She says, "Yet Paul and the rest of Jesus' followers suffered so much. No one can explain that statement to me. By His stripes we are healed." So what can we share with Laura about that particular phrase?
Well, it's really an important question because it ties into some of the theology that's being taught out there. There's this prosperity gospel, and it's a message. It's not the gospel at all. It's really not good news. But it's something that says if we can, develop some godliness, then we can expect financial gain to follow. And so it becomes, wealth is a blessing of God. If you're not wealthy, then you're obviously not blessed by God. You don't have enough faith. You haven't given the right amount. You haven't sown your seed in the right way. And so there's this prosperity gospel out there, and Paul addressed that in his first letter to Timothy, and he talked about the love of money is the root of all evil, and those who have given themselves to it have ruined themselves many times. And so that's a warning. But one of the things that this prosperity gospel would teach is that we can just ask God to heal us of any illness that we have, and we can expect that to happen. Well, that's not the case. Sometimes He chooses to heal physical diseases. Other times He doesn't, as far as here and now. The ultimate healing comes through death. So we have to ask the question, since that's true, what does this passage mean? What did Jesus die for? And what are we healed from? And I think Isaiah 53 is where this verse was first mentioned. And then Peter talks about it as well in his first letter. So, Richard, what does it mean to be healed, that His stripes have healed us?
You've got to take a look, first of all, at what is it that ails us? What did we need to be healed from? And the first and foremost thing was this sin problem, this thing that separated us from God. And so Jesus came to do that. In His death on the cross, He cured us once and for all of the sin problem so that He could give us life, which was the real problem because we were dead in sin. And so this is as Peter describes it, it's an issue of the soul. You were dead spiritually, and your soul is dying, and your body acts like it. And Jesus comes along and saves us by His life because in His stripes He took away sin. And that lets us come alive in the soul, and then He heals, or come alive in the spirit, and He heals our soul. And then the combination of that flows through our lives to other people. And it that's the only way to look at it, because not everyone is healed physically. And either that makes God the bad guy, or makes me the bad guy. And neither of those can be true. I was dead and needed life. Jesus provided both. And both the forgiveness and the life. And so His stripes healed us because of that sting of death that sin caused.
Absolutely. And I love what Peter wrote. He said he himself, and this is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness.
Yeah.
That's the healing of the soul
right
that you're talking about. By his wounds you have been healed. Once, when we were dead spiritually, separated from God, we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was the only option on our menu. That needed to be healed. That needed to be corrected. And Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrected life puts a new option on the menu. Now we can live for righteousness. We can actually live for the will of God. That's exciting, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate hearing from Laura and all of those of you who write to us to pose a question. If you would like to pose a question by email, you'll find a prominent link right on our homepage at basicgospel.net. But right now, plenty of open lines at 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Elizabeth, Pennsylvania, and talk with Joni, listening to us on WWNL. Hi, Joni.
Hi. God bless you, brothers. I enjoy your program. I wanted to ask you, now I'm only on Social Security, okay, and it's only like $11.59 a month, and there's a lot of times that I can't pay my full tithe. Now, a lady that's a godly woman that has a ministry says, Joni, God does not expect you to do without food and that. You give from your heart, and I just wanted your input on that.
Well, Joni, there's nowhere in the New Testament, the New Covenant, that speaks to a specific amount or a percentage.
Right.
Tithe is a word that means 10%. It represented a fact. You were expressing a truth that God really owns everything, and the tenth represented that, and that's what he was trying to teach the people of Israel, that he owned everything, and so they could actually trust him in every area of life, knowing that he would provide for them. So in this new covenant, and that's the covenant that we live in today, Jesus ratified that with his blood. He ushered it in. He simply says to excel in the grace of giving. And you can only excel in the grace of giving as God's Spirit moves in your heart. And there's no percentage attached to that. When you excel in the grace of giving, you're going to first and foremost see it in your attitudes. When you can give cheerfully, when there's joy in just the act of giving, you know that you are excelling in the grace of giving. If you can give willingly, not out of compulsion, not because, you know, there's some law out there dictating that you have to give in order to be spiritual, in order to be accepted in God's sight. If you can give out of willingness instead of obligation, then you know you're excelling in the grace of giving. Those are the attitudes that God wants to work inside of you. So, Joni, just let the Lord work inside of you. And you don't have to worry about the amount. Sometimes you can't give. Well, that's okay. There's other people in the body of Christ that will step up and give in your place, so to speak.
Well,
so
you know,
God knows all of that.
Sometimes when, you know, I give something in the offering, you know, and it's not only money, but when you pray for people, or you just a kind word, you know. But I do appreciate what you said about these prosperity teachers, because I had one tell me, well, you're under a curse if you're cheating Jesus if you don't pay your full tithe.
Well, I heard a pastor say he looked at the congregation and said, all of you folks out there who are tithers, look around, because the people next to you who aren't tithers, they're robbing God, and if they rob God, they'll rob you. Watch your wallets. And it's like, what kind of nonsense is that?
You know what?
That's not truth. That's not the message of Christ. He didn't learn Christ that way.
No, and you know what, Bob? In these last days, there is such a deception on the body of Christ that, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I study the Word every day. I get up early in the morning and spend my devotional time with Jesus. And as long as we have him, he will direct our paths, and he will, you know, through his godly wisdom, tell us what to do each and every day.
Yeah. Well, Joni, I think you are on track. You know the Lord, and
yes,
you
sir.
Know his love and his grace. You are allowing his spirit to work in you. Just keep walking down that path, and any questions that you have, he will answer for you in a way that just rocks your world, okay?
Amen. Well, God bless you, brother, and keep up the good work for Jesus.
Well, thank you, Joni. And let me put you on hold. We'll send you this resource that we have available this month called Grace and Money. It has
okay.
two CD messages and a booklet. And listen through those, read the booklet, and then we ask you to pass them on to others as well, okay? You hang
yes,
on.
Yes, sir. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Joni. Well, Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of Grace and Money, we have one for you for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Of course, supporting the ministry is the primary reason that we make offers, because we want this message to continue on the airwaves of America and literally around the world through the Internet. I think it's the most important message on the airwaves, and your support makes it possible. So when you go online to basicgospel.net to make your gift to the ministry, we'll send you a copy of Bob's new 2-CD series called Grace and Money. For a gift of any amount. Again, Grace and Money, a gift of any amount. 1-800-727-2828 if you'd like to order by phone. Again, that number is good through about 6 o'clock Central Time each day, Monday through Friday. 1-800-727-2828. We encourage you to visit or speak with our operator.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go down to New Orleans and talk with Ray, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing there? We're greatly blessed by the conversation that just took place. It's nice to hear somebody that agrees that, you know, we're not under the law, and these preachers that use that thing about, you know, God will open the windows of heaven if you pay your tithes and all, let's think under law. It's just a blessing to hear somebody, you know, contradict that, which is we're not under law, we're under grace. But that's not what I was calling. I was troubled, blessed by that, but troubled by the previous discussion. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He fulfilled the law in our behalf, paying the price for sin by his death on the cross. He did not have to go through that terrible torture, scourging, to obtain our sinful covering for our sin. His death covered our sin. He paid for our sin by his death. That stripes, the quote about his by stripes, that was like a lanyard thing. That was like part of that, I come to give you abundant life, a more abundant life. Life and more abundant life. Life eternal and a more abundant life on earth. Not healing pie in the sky when you go to heaven. That's not, we have available to us because by his stripes, by that scourging, I've heard it preached before and I don't have proof of, but it sounds good that each one of those stripes represents some category of disease or sickness and ailment.
Well, the Word of God doesn't say that, Ray. That's the whole point. We've got to stick with what the Word of God has to say. That's why I wanted to read 1 Peter, and Peter took that Old Testament passage and invested it with New Testament meaning. And so he said this, and I'll read it again. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness.
That's his death on the cross.
And then he says, by his wounds, he's quoting the Isaiah passage, by his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. So that is how the New Testament writers couched that passage in Isaiah 53, that
so
it's a healing of the soul.
So the way you interpret that, your understanding of that, is that if he didn't go through the scourging, his death on the cross wouldn't have paid for our sins.
No, Ray, you're missing the point. That whole suffering and agony and all of that was one single event. He was agonizing in the garden over the thought of becoming sin for sinful man, becoming that sin offering, knowing that he was going to be forsaken by his Father. That was the agony that he was talking
okay.
about. So
let me approach it from a different angle then, since we can't agree on that. All right. Is it a fact that it is God's will for us to be healthy in our bodies, like an earthly parent would want their children to be healthy? He wants us well. Is that not a truth? Is it not a blessing to be? Sickness is a curse. Wellness of health is a blessing. Would you agree with that?
Well, we'll call that a blessing, but all of us are going to get sick. I mean, we have to look at reality. We have to look at truth. We live in a sin-stained world. We live in a world of darkness. We're all going to experience some suffering. These bodies will die. I mean,
but
that
my
is...
question is, yeah, but we do have to die. It's appointed unto us to die, but we don't have to die of sickness. We can just be called out of our bodies, and our bodies will drop to the ground dead.
We can.
We can be driven from our bodies by sickness, but that's not God's will. His will is for us to be healthy. It even says in there that he desires above all things for us, first and foremost, our relation to him is prosper, but that we be in health and that we prosper.
Well I'm not going to argue with you that's the ultimate, and we're eventually going to experience that ultimate. That's why there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah,
that's why, listen to me, Ray, that's why we're going to receive a new body. It's not pie in the sky. But the fact of the matter is, if you say health is a blessing and sickness is a curse, then you are distinguishing classes of people, classes of Christians. If somebody is not well, then you have to ask the question, why? Why aren't they experiencing the blessing of health that God desires for everyone? Well, it's because they're not walking by faith. It's because they didn't pray enough, because they didn't tithe enough, because they didn't do this enough. So we come up with all kinds of excuses as to why they're not experiencing a blessing of health here and now. And you may ask them and say, if I had to go through it again, I would definitely go through it again, because through this illness, I learned about the love of Jesus Christ. It became a blessing in their lives.
Absolutely.
So we have to see things from God's perspective, not ours. So thanks for your call, Ray. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to June in El Paso, Texas. Hi, June.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We certainly can.
Yes, so I am a believer, and I do believe in tithing, but, you know, like I mentioned earlier, my spouse is the unbelieving spouse, so I make an attempt to pay tithe out of my income and not.
Well, June, I'm just going to jump in real quick because we're almost out of time, so don't think I'm being rude here. I'm just going to do this for sake of time. But I'm going to tell you this, June, your marriage is more important to God than whether you tithe or not. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. Your marriage is more important to God than whether you tithe or not. And so the fact that you are doing something separate from your husband is something that God would say, no, I want you to be on the same page. And I think it's important for you and your husband to get on the same page. This may open up his heart and mind to a deeper relationship, or even a relationship with the Lord if he doesn't have it. But let me put you on hold. We'll try to talk to you further. Okay, June, thanks for your call and great question.
Yes, indeed. Friends, there's a brand new offer on the table this month of March. It's the new series by Bob Christopher we've been talking about that poses the question, does the Word of God have anything to say about money, about our attitudes toward money, and how to use money wisely? The answer, of course, is yes, and you'll learn what it says in this 2-CD series, Grace and Money by Bob Christopher. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can donate online at basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 800-727-2828, up to 6 o'clock Central Time today. Grace and Money, the new 2-CD series by Bob Christopher. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Be sure also to check our website for information on the upcoming Bible conference, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World, June 19th through the 21st. Plenty of time for you to make your plans for vacation time and to make your travel plans. If you're coming from out of town, we would love for you to be a part of that. It's going to be right here in the Dallas area, again, June 19th through the 21st. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. So now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.